Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday night at 7.
It is good to be with you. It's a genuine joy always to associate with the people of God. Family, never among strangers. Lovely folk. And you know, it's interesting that we're all from different backgrounds. We know different people work at different jobs and in different areas, but we have one thing in common, our love for the Lord. Would to God that our brotherhood could understand that. We're the body of Christ. Differences? Why? Certainly. We have many differences. We don't even all agree on specific statements from the Scripture. An occasion of division? Never. Never. As a matter of fact, the only motive the Lord will accept for Christian service is a four-letter word, and it's a goodie. L-O-V-E. And love is a dynamic that seeks the highest good of its object without regard to cost, sacrifice, or suffering. All you need to do is read the New Testament. What the Lord endured to save a reprobate such as I, anything required for your edification and your good, I'm more than willing to say. But I didn't come talk about that. I want to talk about some other things. We have some young people, I believe, in the audience this morning. In the book of Daniel, it begins, you remember, Jehoiakim in his third year of his reign in Judah had old Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to lay siege to Jerusalem, and God gave him the victory. And he even took certain of the holy vessels out of the temple and carried them down to Babylon, put them into the temple of his idol God. And he commissioned Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to pick young men of the seed royal of the nobles, young men who were intelligent, having knowledge in science, etc. And he was to train them in the culture and language of the Chaldeans for 3 years. And those who qualified would stand before Nebuchadnezzar, the king, as advisors and wise men. Now Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were among the captives taken in that first wave of captives down into Babylon. Now, of course, these boys were insulted in the worst way. The Jews of that day and today are family-oriented, but these boys were castrated. They would never know marriage or reproduction, and that was a terrible blow. Now, it's understood that these were probably teenagers. These are young men of the seed royal, from among the sons of the nobles. And in this 3 years of training, they were to be fed with the dainties from the king's table. I mean, the finest food in Babylon. Hey, for a captive, this is... Verse 8, our theme for the next few moments. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties. And Daniel lives forever because he said no. That little word N-O is powerful. And it's needed in many contexts of human life today. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainty. But just think of the reasons why he would want to eat of the finest food in Babylon. I mean, he's a young man, a teenager. Man, a voracious appetite. I remember, we had two boys and two girls, and I remember old Bill and Johnny Robertson go out, and you didn't just buy them a Whopper, you bought them two Whoppers. And they didn't just drink a Coke, they got a 2-liter. And where all that stuff went, I don't know. But, I mean, a voracious appetite. Hey, Daniel, man, this is the finest food in Babylon. And you're a prisoner. What? Oh, Daniel had been trained by parents who were faithful to God under the law. Oh, he understood Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He hath humbled thee, he hath suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Lord used that, didn't he, when the tempter came to him? If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. He just fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He's within hours of physical death. What did he say? It is written. Right? He put the written word above his physical life. Why, certainly. This physical life won't last. This is eternal. It is written again. Oh, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He quoted that same passage. Daniel had his affection set upon the Lord. Purpose in his heart, he would not defile himself with the king. Dad, Daniel, man, in this 3 years, you're an intelligent young man. In the course of this 3 years, you're going to be developed, and you'll stand in the presence of the king. I mean, and where he goes, you'll go, and you'll be seen, and you'll be known of people. You'll be one of the wise men. How many young people and older do you know who have sacrificed spiritual principle? Sacrificed moral conviction for recognition, to become an idol of young people, to be recognized where they go. One of the saddest things in the world. This won't last. Everything here will pass. Nothing here will be remembered. But a billion years from right now, you'll be much more conscious than you are presently. But that would be a temptation, wouldn't it? Man, my career. I mean, a wise man, stand in the presence of... Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king. Daniel, oh buddy, it could mean your life. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar has no more regard for human life than for what in a nap. It wouldn't make any difference to him. He finds out that you've rebelled, you object to this thing, you're not eating his food, off goes your head. Never think about it twice. Wouldn't bother him in the least. What was it Jesus said? Revelation 2, verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Well, quite literally, he's saying, be thou faithful up to and including, if necessary, a death of martyrdom for what you believe, and I'll give you a crown of life. Daniel understood that principle. Daniel had dedicated his life to the accomplishment of the will of God. Sure, he could lose his physical life. There's no question about that. But you know, in the New Testament, we have a whole lot more information than Daniel had. And I remember that Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. That's what life's all about. No. Death's not the end. Death's where it starts. These shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Last verse of chapter 25, book of Matthew, verse 4-6. Eternal. That word describes the duration of both places. You see, you're made in the image and the likeness of God. You can't cease to be. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You got one shot. Don't miss. You pass this way but once. You meet none coming back to right any wrongs or to correct any mistakes. Physical life? Sure, it could cost him his physical life. Oh, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the kinks. Yeah, but Daniel, man, you think of the ridicule, I mean, that you're going to bear. Woo-hoo! These other kids, you know, that were chosen. Daniel, goody two-shoes. He can't eat the king's dainties. Daniel is a... You know, the opposite of courage, many times, is not really cowardice. It's conformity. We don't want to be different. Say, but the majority of young people go this way. Oh, we're going to, hey. You are an immortal soul. God created you. And Jesus Christ died to curtail, to eliminate the power of Satan. At Hebrews 2:14-15, if we had, but when you make up your heart and your mind that you're going to live for God Almighty, there's not enough power in hell to move you. You can't be budged. But if you're going to be influenced by the voice of the majority, you know, and if it's, think of the ridicule. How sad. Daniel, I need to change Dandy. See? But then, you know, that's been true through the years, hasn't it? Didn't Peter say Noah was a preacher of righteousness? What is that? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5? Noah, a preacher of righteousness? Oh, Psalms 119, verse 170. Let my lips speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. What did Noah tell the people of the antediluvian period of human history? Going to be a flood. Man's years will be 120 years. All in whose nostrils is breathed the breath of life will die. Noah, who ever heard? Never been a rain like that at all. Well, who ever heard of such a flood? What in the world is that monstrosity he's building out there in his backyard? You reckon that ark, you know? Isn't that something? You ever try to laugh when you've been treading water for 3 days? Haven't had a drink, no food, and your strength is waning? You ever try to laugh? Interesting, isn't it? How many people did Noah save in 120 years of preaching righteousness? 8. That himself, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their 3 sons, and their wives. As Peter said, 8 souls altogether. Daniel purposed in his heart. Yeah, but the world don't go along with that. Fine. The world is lost. You were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2, verse 12. I want to stand with God Almighty. Yeah, but preacher, you're going to suffer ridicule. Man, if that's all I suffer, that's great. It don't bother me a bit. I'm going to suffer a whole lot more than that. Oh, but the suffering? You know, I read about Jesus Christ. Laid his back open with a scourge. I mean, they put a crown of thorns on his head for a crown more for shame than for pain, but slapped his face. They took that reed and beat him. And they spat in the face of the Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth. More than 12 legions of angels looking over the battlements of heaven who do not fully comprehend what is occurring here. All Jesus Christ had to do was think one negative thought. They'd have made a hole out of that place, sent every soul to hell, and brought Jesus Christ right back to the right hand of God where he belonged. Not once. Why? He loved me. Oh, Lord, help me to be like Daniel. Resolve in my heart that I'm going to do your will, no matter what the earthly, immediate, physical, material circumstances may be. Help me to set my affections on things that are spiritual. Daniel, man, you'll never see your parents again. And he didn't. He lived and died in Babylon. God's spokesman for the kings, all the way to Darius, king of the Medes, lived a long life, died, and was probably buried in Babylon. You'll never see your folks again. I mean, what difference does it make? I mean, you're away from home. I mean, and here's the opportunity, man, to do something, and you'll be wrecked. You know, young people today, we older people could be guilty, but young people especially, on spring break, head for Florida. Parents, of course, generally don't go along. And many of those young folk on the beach don't wear enough clothing to make a pocket handkerchief out of. That's called lasciviousness, defined as tending to produce lewd emotions. Oh, well, now somebody says, preacher, everybody does that on the beach. Nobody really thinks anything about that. Oh, really? Next time I'm in Florida, I'll swing over toward the beach and over to a ward over there. Hey, Charlie. Hi, Charlie. Yeah, Charlie, how you doing? Hey, Charlie. Good. Somebody says, why would you call them all Charlie? Oh, Charlie MacArthur was made out of wood. Naked women didn't affect him. I got a sneaky suspicion those boys on the beach are not made out of wood. But then, worse than that, somebody goes and brings a case of beer. And that young lady at Arula was seen coming out of a bar with two natives to that area, and she hasn't been seen since. But it's not death. That's not the problem. It's your morals. What do you really stand for? Or do you really stand for anything? Oh, in the presence of parents. Oh, and when we go to church, I'm going to... Hey. In the middle of hell, in the presence of the devil, I intend to stand for the Lord. Daniel is among heathen. He's a captive. He has no power of his own. He's been castrated. Daniel purposed in his heart that he did not defile himself with the king's dainties. Let's notice one or two reasons why he made that decision. Food from the king's table in Babylon will be unclean. Says, what are you talking about, preacher? We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. I mean the king. This is the finest food in... Daniel understood God's will. You see, they can only ingest meat that came from an animal that parted the hoof and chewed the cud. Now, the old swine parts the hoof, but he doesn't chew the cud. Pork's off the menu. Can't eat pork. Oh, that bunny, that coney, I mean, he chews the cud, but he doesn't part the hoof. No rab. Well, somebody says, whatever. Look at these Chaldeans. Look at that soldier, broad-shouldered, 6'5", I mean, tough, hard as iron. It doesn't hurt him. He eats the... Numbering yourselves by yourselves, comparing yourself with yourselves, simply means that you don't have any gumption. You're without understanding. Yeah, that's gumption. But Daniel wasn't influenced by the people that he saw. Daniel was committed to the accomplishment of the will of God. Oh, and he knew what God said about clean meat. And he knew these heathen wouldn't know anything about that. So that food that came to the king's table, man, I'd have pork and just about everything. No. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties. And then, too, when you think about it, that food from the king's table would not be properly prepared. Somebody says, that's the king's table. I mean, it'd be prepared better than any... flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. Genesis 9, verse 4. God made that a point. That's also true in the New Testament. Acts chapter 15, verse 29. Abstain from blood and from things strangled. You know, not too long ago when they had the old Judas goat that led the cattle in that were to be slaughtered for meat, that old boy stood there with a long, sharp, pointed knife, and that goat went right through, and that taller cow came through, closed up on him. He cut that jugular vein, and some of them kept a glass up there. And that blood spurting out, you know, and he'd catch that warm blood and drink it. Blood is almost impossible for the human body to digest and is of no value at all. More than that, such is condemned in the Word of God. Oh, why am I not going to do that? Because God said don't do it. No, I'm not going to say, well, I don't like the taste of it or, you know... You know, some people, they really savor blood pudding. I said, yeesh. Sinful. Daniel determined in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties. And he knew that the food on the king's table would not be prepared according to God's will, because these people didn't know God. They knew the idols and the chunks of stone and the foolishness called heathenism. There is no but God. Oh, but then when you really stop to think about it, some of that food on the king's table would have been offered to an idol. Daniel didn't want to destroy his influence that way. You know, it's amazing sometimes how we are not as thoughtful as we should be. Let's suppose that you're on a business trip in a distant city and they're having a happy hour. No, I'm a Christian. I don't imbibe alcoholic beverage at all. But the man you need to see and the meeting is going to take place immediately after this happy hour is in the bar. Nothing wrong with you going in the bar. Fine. Christian walks in, looks for the... No, he doesn't get a Coke. He doesn't want to walk through there with a glass or a cup in his hand. He doesn't want to destroy his... And somebody would probably assume you're in a bar, you got drink in your hand, alcoholic. Just don't do that. He doesn't do that. You see, he's careful to maintain the right kind of influence. Well, somebody says, preacher, there'd be nothing wrong going and getting you a Coke. No, nothing wrong with it at all, except it could harm your influence. Well, somebody says, that's ridiculous. That's right. Yes, sir, in the eyes of the world, Daniel is ridiculous. There's no question about that. He determined purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties. Oh, and there's another thing, too. The food from the king's table would probably, dissipate the physical body. It wouldn't be healthful food in most instances. And know you not that your body is a temple of God? Oh, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. 1 Corinthians 3 at verse 16. Oh, then I need to be careful what I ingest. Right. For instance, when you really stop to think about it, suck tar and nicotine into your lungs? Ooh, think about that. Now, I realize just a few years ago, smoking was very popular. You know, the movie stars. And a lot of people thought nothing about it. As a matter of fact, didn't know really about the hazards and the problems that could arise from that. And many innocent people. And then the tobacco companies got to adding a little bit of material that created a stronger addiction, And people have trouble quitting that habit. That's not a good habit. That dissipates the old physical body. Oh, Daniel knew that food in the king's table would probably be, at least in some instances, that kind of food. So he didn't want to do that, dissipate his physical body. Well, wait a minute. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties. Now, what did he do? How did he go about this? Now, if we aren't careful, and this is especially true in youth, old Daniel said, if that nitwit thinks I'm eating that slop from the king's table, he's got to know you're dead. You're dead. And you deserve it. There is no place in the kingdom of God for a smart aleck. Never. And a smart aleck can't accomplish one thing for the Lord. He can only do damage to himself. No, sir. Daniel went to Ashpenaz with all of the respect that you'd characterize a young man in the presence of a superior. This is the master of the eunuchs. And I'm as sure as I can be that he sincerely told Ashpenaz about the training his parents had given him and the convictions of his heart. And if it's possible at all, I don't want to defile myself with the king's dainties. Now, let me tell you something about men. He may have a 45 pointed between your eyes and he may kill you. But if he determines that you are sincere, that you're honest in what you're saying, that you're convinced that your life should be given to the Lord, he may kill you. But deep down, he'll wish that he could be like you. That's why he's the rascal that he is. He knows what he ought to be, And he isn't. You see, each one of us is made in the image and the likeness of God. We have all of that stuff deep down in our hearts. We know what we ought to be. And you may not like him, and you may say bad things about him, but when you understand that a person is walking according to his sincere convictions, you appreciate him. There's no question about it. You have to honor him. There's nothing else you can do. Yeah, you may blow holes in him, but you have to honor him. Aspenaz didn't report Daniel. I can see this fatherly gentleman. You think about this. And Aspenaz said, and Daniel understood it. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, "Son, you would endanger my head. If the king finds out that I'm not feeding you what he ordered me to feed you, he'll take my life." And he would. There's no question about it. Daniel understood that. I say, Daniel didn't argue that a moment. "You would endanger my head." Daniel understood that. Well, what do you do when you make up your mind you're going to do the Lord's will and you're under negative circumstances like old Daniel? Well, you do everything you can. He said to the steward, the person who brought the food to them, he said, "Just try thy servants 10 days and then do what you have to." That's paraphrasing. 10 days. Give us pulse to eat and water to drink. That steward thought, well, 10 days, I mean, you know, what difference does it make? So, out of respect, I say, this is an honest, fine young man. For 10 days, he gave him beans and water. He just pulse and water. Ooh, God has a hand in it, doesn't he? At the end of the 10 days, they were fatter of flesh, fairer of complexion. They looked better than all of those who had been eating King's Danish. Man took King's Danish away, gave him all beans and water. See, that's the power of Christian or convictions influence. Oh, there's no question about that. But we see that influence exerted in a far greater way as we turn over to Daniel chapter 3. You remember, Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image. This thing is 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. That's the skinniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen it, but then the mental picture. 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, made of gold. Right. He called in all of the nations and their kings and their rulers and governors and all of the important people. Boy, he's a potentate. I mean, you know, he said, "Now, when you hear all kinds of mechanical instruments of music, you are to bow down and worship the image that I've made. And whosoever does not bow down and worship the image that I've made will be cast the same hour into the midst of the fiery furnace." Man, when they began to play those instruments of all kinds, all these people hit the ground. Man, they're worshiping that image. And certain men came to Nebuchadnezzar and said, "O king, some of those Hebrews that you appointed to the oversight of the people, they're not worshiping your image. This Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah," Aspenaz gave them those names, "they don't bow down to your image." Well, old Nebuchadnezzar's visage has changed. His attitude is negative. He called in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, "Now, if it be an oversight, and you're willing at what time you hear all kinds of musical instruments to bow down and worship the image that I've made, well. But if not, you'll be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And then he cut his throat. He said, "And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hand?" You're dead, boy. But I want you to listen to these boys. They said, "O king, we have no need to answer thee concerning this matter, but if it be true, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of your hand. Now listen, but if not, be this known unto thee, we will not bow down to thy image, nor will we worship your gods." Oh, I wish I had courage like that. I'd whip the world. I can't get that in the physical realm. That's spiritual. The courage of these young men. I mean, you're talking to the sole authority. You're talking to the power of the world. You're talking to the man with the power of life and death. Oh, he was angry. He heated that furnace 7 times its original heat, bound these men in their hose and their tunics. He had the strongest men in his army. Threw them in there, and the fire so hot it dropped dead. The soldiers died that threw them in. And he looks over in there, and he says to all the wise men now, and all kinds of witnesses, authoritative people, he said, did we not throw 3 men into the fire to furnace? And they said, true, O king. He said, I see 4 walking around in the furnace, and the 4th has the appearance of a son of God. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth out of that fiery furnace. These men climbed out of there. All of these witnesses saw that their hose and their tunics were not scorched. Their hair was not singed, and the smell of fire had not passed upon them. God Almighty controls the things of life. No, he doesn't always do it miraculously. No miracles in the New Testament, but then God is not limited to miraculous performance. Miracles would limit God to time and space. Not so. He still works in behalf of his people. Well, then Nebuchadnezzar, of course, always in the extreme, he said, any person that speaks a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut in pieces, and his house will be made a dunghill, a compost heap. Boy, he has to do things in a powerful way, doesn't he? Yes, and he advanced these men in his kingdom, positions of authority. But let's just notice one or two things here. One of them is the drips. But we can't help that. I've had that several weeks. I don't know whether it's pollen or what it is, but Daniel had his convictions when he went to Babylon. Right? He had already made up his mind. He was taught by faithful parents. He had given himself in service to the Lord. And the change of his location and the negative circumstances that occurred has nothing to do with his conviction, his determination to be faithful to God. Daniel was committed when he went to Babylon. If we aren't careful, too many of us, you know, we have to kind of examine each temptation individually, you know, it's unusual, I'll not have this opportunity again. What is God's will? That's it. Changing circumstances won't negatively affect your life if you devote your life to the Lord. So no matter what the circumstances may be, you have one course to pursue. What God say? You don't have to check and look into and feel and taste and No. He was committed when he went to Babylon. And a marvelous thing about this, even the heathen respect genuine, sincere conviction. And you know, within our own hearts, we know whether or not we are committed to the Lord. There is such a thing as hypocrisy, of course. We, in certain contexts, circumstances, we want to appear to be this way, and yet when we get into another context with a different class, we are... Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties. Why did he do that? Because of his commitment to God Almighty. Just like old Joseph, sold by his 10 older brethren into foreign slavery, never one time forgot his total dependence upon God Almighty. Worked for the slave master. Oh, did such a good job that he was placed in charge of the whole estate. Morals charge brought against him. Potiphar's wife lied about him. Cast into the dungeon. Faithful to God. And you know the story of Joseph. And when his 10 brethren came down, he recognized them immediately. So he told his executioner, take them out and hang them 1 at a time. No. He loved his brethren. Never a negative attitude. You know, if you're not careful, you think, man, when old Pharaoh advanced me to the second in command in Egypt, what would be the first thing you do? Potiphar's wife, front and center. You want to see your head roll or you want to tell the truth? Not mentioned. It's not mentioned. That's not important. Vengeance is not a part of the service of the Lord. A negative attitude toward people is not a part of the Lord's service. Yeah, circumstances don't always suit or please. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties. His convictions, his relationship to God, his determination to do God's will never changed at all. And that's the way we need to be today, serving the Lord with fidelity under the best circumstances and under the worst circumstances. Doesn't change our relationship to the Lord. But I'll hush. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.